Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, are we on the air? 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 I don't mean for there to be hold time. All right, Blog Talk Radio, are we on the air?
Hi, this is Reverend Lacey, the devotional chef. Dr. Ron Graham,
okay.
What a devotional show.
Thank you, Reverend Lacey. We have a little bit of technical difficulty here. There's no background music playing today, and I'm not going to worry about it because that's outside of our control. My name is Ron Graham. I'm going to be the producer of the Devotional Chef Show, and as you have heard, if you are with us, Reverend Robert Lacey, the Devotional Chef, is with us today. And Reverend Lacey, we're here to talk about an American favorite, especially in the South. Is that true?
Yes, it is very true. As a matter of fact, it is a very popular dish amongst Native Americans also.
Great. Well, we're going to get right to that in just a moment. Let's see if I've got any other technical problems to deal with here. While I'm checking the technical problems, for the benefit of our listeners, I want to let you know how you can reach us, the Devotional Chef, is on Facebook as The Devotional Chef. We are on Twitter as just Devotional Chef. Devotional Chef. And we have a website. It's thedevotionalchef.com. There's a blog there. And every time we have a show, we will give you a summary of the show on our blog so you can see what we're up to. All right, Reverend Lacey, at least for what we can do with our technical difficulties, that stuff is taken care of for the time being. Let's talk grits.
Okay, well, Rod, grits has been in my family for hundreds of years. I have a strong inkling, but not a fact, that they were adapted because of the corn that grows all over the world. And I think that when the African-American came to America, that was one of the ways to fuel them so they could continue the work that they can do here, unfortunately, on the plantation. So it was called maize, and it's like a porridge. And so they were given that to part of their survival food.
Okay, so you made this porridge, I take it, out of kernels of maize, and you probably crushed them somehow, right?
Yeah, well, it's a coarse meal and of maize, and you crush them, and it's crushed, and some of it can be different colors because of the fact that all corn has different colors, and in the South, you have a yellow grit, and you also have a white grit, which is called a hominy because they take the cereal germ out of it and add alkali. I want to just mention, too, that in the Latin American countries, especially Mexico, hominy grits are very, very popular there, as like I said, with the American Indian. I think we adapted the method from the American Indian more so, and of course, the Indian and the Mexican population are very close, And so African Americans became very much interested in developing cuisines and recipes from grits. As a matter of fact, from breakfast to lunch and dinner, my wife personally loves grits. She can eat grits 2 or 3 times a day.
Really?
Yes, she
okay,
can.
That's what. Well, hey, it's easy to get. It was easy to get. It was easy to make. So, yeah, I guess I can't be too surprised that it would be eaten often. Now, we're going to ask you this. How do people make grits today?
Well, the method hasn't really changed. Again, you get your dried corn grits. And one of the biggest companies, as you know, is Quaker Oak. They are very popular down here. They have a brand called Jim Dandy, and they have so many different brands. And the recipe is very simple. It's like taking 2 parts grits to 3 or 4 parts water. Grits has an unusual magic to it, if you may, and it takes water to keep the grits pliable because grits absorb a lot of water. And what I like to do, this is my method, I'll take a cup of grits and I'll add 2 to 3 cups of water and I'll put it on a boil first. First boil your water, you salt your water. Then you add your grits and you need a whisk because grits have a tendency to marry when they lump up. And so a good chef's whisk, keep them whisk, and you turn it down low, and you can add butter or anything else you want. They take to different flavors really well. So once you get the consistency of the grits that you want, some people like them thick. My wife likes them thick. I kind of like them on the mid-level of a mid-range, like a little soupy but not too soupy. I keep the whisk going. I keep the whisk going, and then once I know I have the consistency, you must taste your food. Audience, whenever you cook, always taste your food because you can't serve something to somebody and find out that it's not quite right. And if you're still gritty tasting, then you know you haven't added enough water. And so that's how you do it. And you can use a lid, but you have to use a lid on the fire. They have a tendency to rise to the top and mess up your whole stove. So, yeah, that's the method that I use, that I was taught. By my mother and family.
Now, what you're telling me is that based on the recipe you've described, you would probably eat the grits out of a bowl once they have reached the proper temperature and consistency, boiling with the water. Do you ever just take, like, a scoop of grits and pan fry it up?
I've never done it, and I know it can be done, but the secret of that would be to let them cool, because they won't be the consistency of the cake. When grits become cold, you could actually cut them, and I would take a little buttery oil. A little flour to get a little coating, and then you could fry them up there, or you could take the grits and put them in a baking ramekin, and when you have it in a baking ramekin, you can therefore take the ramekin and what I would call greasing it with butter, butter is always a good thing. I love butter and grits; it's just nothing like it. And put it in a ramekin, and you can add cheese to them, and you can make a grit loaf and bake that off. And again, I would have them cool off so you could have that consistency of a cold grit. It's just like when people make fried rice, it's best to use a cold rice than hot rice.
Exactly.
Same concept, my friend. And so you can add bacon, you could add ham, you could add sausage in them, you could put vegetables in them, like, a little tomato if you want, something that would hold up in the heat little celery. I mean, you can actually make that as a great side dish or a main dish if you decide to saute some vegetables and have a grit cake on there and pour it over in a nice rich gravy. I'm getting hungry here.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah. I mean, based on your description here, you could combine grits with anything that, at the very least, you would put into fried rice. So if you're gonna
exactly.
if you're gonna fry it up, you fry it like fried rice, but you also cook stuff with it exactly like fried rice. And what
you're
gonna put
that.
In there with it is all a matter of the cook's taste and the family's taste, depending on what you're gonna eat with it.
Exactly.
What's your favorite?
Well, I like just plain grits boiled, and I like to add cheese in mine. I like to put bacon in mine. Because primarily down here in the South, it's actually a breakfast food. But there's another thing that people like when we have grits. You know, they can make the grit cake, you know, like the little pancake. They can do that. They can make the grit loaf, that kind of stuff. You can even actually, this is going to be really fun after they cool off. You could actually shake them, but you're going to have to need some kind of flour or type of glue. You can make grit balls and almost like having hush puppies if you want to. It's up to your imagination what you want to do and how you want to do it. And so I think that they would enjoy that. But there's another side of the coin too. There's another preparation that we didn't talk about, and I don't want to be amiss. If you're in the Carolinas, they tend to use milk instead of water. I guess it's because it's the consistency of it, of the grits, to make it more creamier. Like I said, my
okay.
wife likes grits. Hers on a little firm side. And I tease her. I say, oh, well, you want your grits fried? That's what I call them, the fried. She says, oh, these are perfect grits. That's the way she was raised. And she's a Louisiana woman. And I was raised in New Jersey, and my mom cooked them the way, I guess, she learned them. But in the Carolinas, if you went to see Paula Deen at her restaurant, and we went down there, they'll put milk in the grits, and then they serve them up with, you know, we have a favorite dish here, shrimp and grits. Came from Charleston, actually. Now it's popular in Louisiana. I like fish and grits. Nothing like a nice fried piece of fish and a side of grits and a couple of eggs and a biscuit. Brother, you're in 20th heaven.
Oh, that sounds so good. Boy, I'll tell you, it's a good thing for me. I just had lunch before we did this podcast, Reverend Lacey, or I would not be able to finish. I'd want to go out and try to find me some grits right away. And I especially like the idea of that nice fried fish against the grits. That sounds like heaven right there.
Well, you can make grits with cheese, bacon, green onion, and poached egg. That's a beautiful. Eggs and grits, it's a beautiful marriage. It's something about that combination. There was a restaurant in Trenton, New Jersey. It's going out of business years ago. You couldn't hardly get in there on Saturday. It was called Speckle Red. He was famous for cooking whiting fish and grits and bacon and all for breakfast. It was fabulous. You couldn't even get in that little restaurant on Perry Street in Trenton, New Jersey. For those of you who don't know about the town, it's the capital. But that was the finest little soul food restaurant, and that was his specialty, fish and grits. And that's how I became indoctrinated in it. And now here in Louisiana, I live here, catfish is king. So we tend to eat a lot of catfish here.
I tell you what, I lived in Trenton for a couple of years, as you know, and I don't remember that restaurant. What did you say the name of the place was again?
Speckle Red. It probably went out of business in the 80s.
It probably
maybe.
Has. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to friends of mine who still live in the Trenton area and find out who there offers a nice meal of fish and grits, because that'll be something I want to get some of the next time I'm passing through New Jersey. And as you know, I do get that way from time to time.
Yes, you do, sir. Yes, you do. So those are the things that I know about grits at this point in time. I want to mention the other kind of fish. You can use catfish, salmon, croquettes, country ham, and many other varieties of foods. Shrimp and grits.
Well, I was just going to say, shrimp and grits is supposed to be a pretty popular combination almost anywhere, right?
Well, it comes from the low coastal country of South Carolina and Georgia. It's also a traditional breakfast dish, would you believe it, in Malaysia.
Malaysia? Well, Malaysia is a country that's basically a bunch of islands. It's sea-bound, so there's probably pretty good shrimp in that region. That's my guess.
Well, not only that, but you got the corn. Corn is a very popular grain all over the world. You know, it sustains people. You know, when we do mission work, we always have a grainy, a porridge, and I suspect there's a lot of corn in the porridge, because they give these people one bowl of this nutritious dish, and I believe they are grits incorporated in that dish to keep them from being malnourished, and et cetera. So, yeah.
I got to tell you, that's another piece of information that I was not acquainted with. I mean, I know grits is an American favorite, but based on what you're telling me, I could go anywhere in the world and find someone who's got it available for a meal.
I would think that you could find them. And also, European markets, you know, you could probably go in an open market and probably get the guy to grind some up for you right on the spot, you know, and there you go. Now, there are other things I didn't mention. There are things called, I would call, original grits. They take a long time to cook. It's not a 5-minute cookery there. It may be 10 or 15 minutes. Then they have come up with a great plan called quick grits. Most of us eat quick grits because it's like 3 to 5 minutes to cook those. Okay? And so,
and the difference between the two?
It's the cooking time. Well, wait, would you rather have your grits in 3 to 5 minutes or 10 to 15 minutes? And it takes a longer time.
I'm talking about, but the difference between the grits that you start with, are you starting with two different types of grits, or are you talking about basically the way they come out at the end of the cooking? One is, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, more cereal-like than the other at the end of the cooking time.
Well, the cereal consistency is depending on the water or milk ratio. Obviously, like rice, the more water you put in and you don't have the right consistency, you'll get a mushy rice every time. I happened to make that blunder a week ago, but fine. It's always water to grain. In rice cooking, it's 2 cups of rice to 4 cups of water. I try to find that same methodology. And again, as you're stirring your grits, and please, people, be careful. Grits will pop on you in the pot. Keep them cooked like on a boil at first and cut them down like halfway or low and keep stirring them, because they will pop. If they pop on you, they're very hot and they do stick. You don't want to get burned by grits, and it's very unpleasant. Okay, now getting back to
the
question. Yeah,
you can get burned by grits and make a big mess in the kitchen too, I would guess.
Yes, you can. You'll do a dance you'll never forget. But back to the consistency, water to milk or milk to water ratio, you'll get the same consistency with quick grits or with regular grits. Just the cooking time is longer or shorter depending on which way you want to go. Most people, they develop quick grits. I think that came out in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s, because at one time there was just a red box, and that was grits. And now they have this blue bag, and you know, and it tells you quick grits, and they tell you how to cook them. I love the quick method, and I would tell you the consistency would be the same, my friend, because it's all the same product. It's just that one takes more water and cooking time. That's all.
Okay, but even with just those things that are going into it, there are a number of ways that you can get different results. You know what?
Yeah.
What would you say to taking one of your favorite grits recipes and putting them in our blog along with the description of this program when we're done on the air today? What would you think of that?
Well, I think that'd be good if people want to know more about this and how you can do additional things. I mean, you can have, like I said, quick grits. You can have regular. You can. And like I said earlier, grits expand when cooked and they stir to prevent sticking. And you have to have the salt and the water ratio. You have to do that. And also, you can make your cheese, your sausage, your bacon, red-eye gravy, and all kinds. That's a very popular thing with grits, red-eye gravy. And we'll talk a little bit about that. It's only made out of the ham drippings, and they, some parts of this, they just love red eye gravy.
Grits and ham gravy. Now that's kind of interesting. That sounds like something you could serve up for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and so I've even used the regular gravy. I love gravy, period. And so I have a joke called greens, grits, and gravy. I would put some collard greens and some grits on a plate with some good old brown gravy with a piece of steak or smothered chicken or smothered pork chop at a heartbeat.
Oh, you're killing me. You're making me so hungry again. But then again, you are a chef. It's probably your job to make me hungry. You're gonna keep me hungry the entire time we're on the air. You know that, right?
Well, bless it up, my brother. But, I mean, you wanted to know it. And like I said, leftover grits can be put in a glass tumbler. We talked about that earlier. Chilled into needed slices or fried, either plain or with a breading. I mean, it's easy because these things, they don't go loose. They seem to come together as one big grit, you know? And so
mm-hmm.
fried grits, fried hominy, or grit cakes are delicious. You put your fish with it. I like to make salmon croquettes. You know, with salmon patties, fry it out of the pan, and you make it out of the can, or you can get fresh salmon. I like to make them out of a canned salmon, red sockeye salmon, you know, and you put it in a little egg mixture, a little green onion, and then you put that in a patty, and you put some flour on it, and you lightly fry it. And, brother, you're talking about something good to put the grits next to that. And I like to have a little variety. I'm like a buffet-minded kind of guy. So when I cook breakfast, it's usually grits, eggs, bacon, potato, and sausage. I try to get my guests a variety of things to eat on the plate, and they usually go, me too, hog wild. I don't do the shrimp because shrimp and I are not friends, but for my wife, I'll do that for her.
Now that's very interesting. The idea of a breakfast with several options. That's
it makes life so much better.
Call it brunch. Yeah, exactly.
Really, and you can have a salad there. There's nothing wrong with having a salad for breakfast. I have done this since crawfish is so popular in Louisiana. You can take crawfish and put it in the grits. Crawfish grits. They make crawfish mac and cheese here, so why not do it with grits? The rules are
I have promised you that I would be trying crawfish the next time I'm in your area, so I'm going to keep that promise. Although, to tell you the truth, I have not been excited about it to this point until right now when you described how you were going to prepare them.
Well, I put them on Thanksgiving, and I put crawfish in stuffing, it disappears.
Of course.
So in summary, what we've got is, I guess I'd have to say in summary, what we've got is the all-purpose food, the food that you can do almost anything with.
It can be a cereal. Now, I have people that eat grits, and they use milk and sugar. So you can use that, and that'll be very fine. You can have a breakfast cereal out of grits. I know people that do that.
That's lovely.
People put sugar on them. I'm a butter guy and salt. I just love butter, salt, a little black pepper. I just like to savor your grits rather than the sweet grits. You know, that's what I'm advocating. But I would advocate, you know, get creative. Kitchen work is fun because you are in control of what you want to put out there. And if you like, you can serve it to someone else and say, hey, this is pretty good. And I'm very, very fussy about my guests, and I want my guests to enjoy what I put out. So I've never had a grit sent back.
Well, you make cooking sound fun, and I got to tell you, I love to cook too. So that's one of the reasons that you and I get along so well. Now, Reverend Lacey, I got to tell you, we're getting close to the end of our program time here, and I'd like to know if you'd like to say a few words about the spiritual needs of our listeners today.
No, definitely.
Go ahead, sir.
Ron?
Yes, I'd like to know if you'd like to say a few words about the spiritual needs of our listeners today while we've still got a few minutes left.
Yes. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me, listeners, that I became in the universal family of God. We were all made by one living, amen, wise, all-loving and kind being. And I said, many of you will say, well, how can that be when there's so much evil in the earth? Well, it's been here, but God's taken care of it through Jesus Christ. Your life will never be the same when you connect with your Creator. You'll know Him as a person, a friend, a defender, a shepherd. He can be anything you want from Him to be. So I'm asking that if you're interested in becoming like me, and being saved, and know that your eternal destination will not be hell, but going to heaven. It will change while you're on earth. Please say this quick prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I accept your peace offering, your gift of Jesus Christ. I know I'm a sinner, and I can't fix my life. Fix my life here, and put me down the Lamb's Book of Life, that I may live eternally with you forever and ever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you said that prayer, because the Bible says it, amen, in John, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to give you all sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, my friends, join the family of Jesus Christ. I confess.
Yes, friends, if you have said that prayer.
Amen.
If you have said that prayer with Reverend Lacey, get in touch with us and let us know, and we'll see how we can help you to continue on in the Christian walk. Now, Reverend Lacey, I'm going to tell everybody how they can reach us. Once again, it is The Devotional Chef on Facebook. It is thedevotionalchef.com is our website. It is Devotional Chef on Twitter. Our Twitter is working very well today, I'm pleased to say. And you will want to check us out on social media. We will have a blog post for this show later today. Well, we're down to our last minute before the end of the show, Reverend Lacey. Let's think about what we want to talk about next week. Anything on your heart?
I like to explore two areas because what we're trying to do is make people have enough rather than a little. And any grain or any food of that type is always welcome. And one of the longest and oldest foods in the world is bread. I'd like to explore the world of bread, the different types of bread from different types of countries, and how is it made. It's been actually given down, handed down from God to man, and men have been eating bread since Adam. So we want to talk a little bit about the world of bread.
Starting next week, the Devotional Chef Show will be intro to bread. Does that sound all right with you?
Yes,
all right.
I want to tell
we're down to the end.
When,
thank you for being with us. It's the Devotional Chef Show. Take care.
Take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bobby, we're off the air, but that was a good show.
No, that was great. I loved it. I loved it. I absolutely adored it. I think it was, yeah, we're going to get better at it. We're going to get better. We're going to get better.
We will get better at it. We absolutely will. No problem. The Blog Talk Radio is going to, you know, produce the show and make a file out of it. Once we have a file out of it, then we can post it on all the social media. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at your cookbook to see if there's a grits recipe in there. If not, I will be getting in touch with you for a simple one.
Well, we could do a mini book. We can always do
a mini book on that?
Yeah, hold on for a second.
Yeah.
Is this
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah,
okay.
It's coming up.
Hey, I'm still in the hotel, Ron.
Okay.
I want to go to the second part of the seminar because I had a real estate thing. You know, real estate's fine, but I'm really
wanting
to know how do you get. No,
well,
we're fine. You and I are good. You and I are good. We're good. Believe me, we're really really
okay.
good. But,
well,
the show
link is available, and I'll send that to you later today.
Okay, so what happened to our theme song? It didn't play out, or what?
The place on the control panel that said the song was playing, it said the song was playing, but no sound was coming out, and I don't know why that is. So I'm going
to
get some help on Blog Talk Radio and find out later.
Hold on a second.
Oh, I didn't realize you were on the
phone. Ron? I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Call me back later, okay? Love you,
okay,
brother.
Okay, see you later.
Bye-bye. Bye. I just did my podcast. I'm Reverend Lake.